I want to share with you, as you turn in your Bibles, please, the 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. I would like to share with you this morning, just briefly, my testimony, and it's going to be very, very brief, just outline form, so you'll understand a little bit where I'm coming from in regard to this message. I was not raised in a Christian home, and I graduated from high school in 1967, so I was a product of the 60s generation. And then I was drafted in 1969 to the United States Army, and I went kicking and screaming. I did not really want to go to the Army. It was disrupting all of my plans. But I went to the Army, and once I was inducted in, I realized I better make the best of it. So I took a whole year of training and ended up becoming a Staff Sergeant Airborne Ranger. Now, you may think that's kind of glorifying, and it wasn't really glorifying. I thought the Vietnam War was going to end. So the more training I took, I thought it would prolong my going to Vietnam. Well, after 1 year of training, almost to the date, I got my orders to go to Vietnam. After training the troops up in Fort Lewis, Washington, the state of Washington, they went to Germany, and I went to Vietnam. When I went to Vietnam, I was the training NCO in the 173rd Airborne Brigade, which meant that I trained troops to go out in the field and have contact with the enemy. After 6 months of that, I volunteered for the Rangers and went up on Ranger Hill, where we ran, you might be familiar with the term LRP missions, long-range reconnaissance patrols. And we would be inserted, usually one day, spend 2 days out, be extracted the fourth day. Sometimes the missions would go a week or 2 weeks. And it was actually, in a sense, hide and seek. You didn't want them to know you were there, and you wanted to find out the information you could and then get out. It was on one of those missions in October 26, 1970, that we were booby-trapped. There was a trail we'll talk about more in a moment in Vietnam, and it had a branch across the trail, and the fellow in front of me, another staff sergeant, was in a hurry and distracted, and he kicked the branch off the trail, and at that point, my whole world blew up. And when my world blew up, it was kind of interesting, because my philosophy of God at that time was, God is in your head. You blame your good on God, and your bad on the devil, and live the life the way you please. When you die, you simply turn to what? Dust and disappear. Well, my philosophy or theology was put to the test that day. As I lay on that trail, blinded, I couldn't see, hurting, I felt everything, and hearing all the firing going on, not sure what was going to happen next, I couldn't believe that Marty Macedo was going to cease existing. And as a result, I just remembered a phrase my mother used, who wasn't even a Christian. I did not come from a Christian home, but she used to say, God will take care of you. Well, I was at a point where I needed help, and I just thought, God will take care of me. I was medevaced out, I was operated on, then I was sent to Japan. And while that was happening to me, my wife of 3 months, we eloped and were married 3 months before we went to Vietnam, if you can believe that. It worked, though. 76th anniversary is coming up here shortly. 76, did I say? The 46th anniversary. We're well preserved, aren't we? 46th anniversary is coming up. But interestingly enough, my wife was an x-ray technician, and she met a patient, and this patient had a delay in her exam, and she did not get upset, but spent 2 hours with my wife. And in that two-hour period, while I'm over in Vietnam getting tenderized, she is there meeting a Christian lady with a wonderful testimony for the Lord. And when I came back to the States, we decided we want that in our lives. So we went to church. After a few weeks, my wife was saved, and I was saved. And then, less than a year after that, I came down to Appalachian Bible College as a student, green behind the ears. We did not have a Christian background. And I thought about this, Dr. Anderson. It was an interesting time. There were 100 freshmen that year in the freshman class. Of course, I'd been to Vietnam and all those things. So they elected me the class president. Okay, well, I had been saved less than a year. My sense of leadership was staff sergeant, airborne ranger. Christians don't function like that. But the guys were strong from all the push-ups they did that year. But I mean, we had a very interesting year as we were learning. But I want to say this sincerely. I don't think there was a finer place that we could have gone with our family and learned the Word of God and be equipped and prepared to serve the Lord. And that brings us to where we're at this morning. Because I recognize your theme for this year is this, it's servants to the church. And I very much appreciate that theme. And obviously, the theme of the school is in regard to service, too. You can't get away from it here at Appalachian, can you? On every door, it's got the motto, because life is for service. And we recognize that. And you folks are going out to serve the Lord. And I don't want to scare you in this regard, but I just want to challenge you in this regard. Where you're going out to is a battle. And when you go out to serve the Lord, and you're even facing it, I'm sure, here to some degree while you're in school, there are going to be what I would call booby traps in your Christian life. There are going to be booby traps in your Christian life. And we see the teaching of that from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. And that's the title of the lesson for us this morning. Booby traps in the Christian life, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Let me take an opportunity to define some terms before I make 4 points for you to carry out with you today. The first term I'd like to define is booby trap, because booby trap is different than what your generation is used to. Your generation is used to the term IED, or improvised explosive devices. And improvised explosive devices that are used today are often triggered by a third party. Someone has made the device, someone has set the device up, and then someone triggers that device when you are in range of being harmed by it. That's not what we had back in Vietnam. In Vietnam, we had what we called booby traps. And booby trap is defined in this fashion: any scheme or device for tricking a person unawares, a bomb or a mine set to explode by some action of the intended victim, as when a seemingly harmless object is lifted. That is the idea of a booby trap. And I think about booby traps in the Christian life because we are going to enter into ministry, and in entering into ministry, there are things that we can trigger that will blow up on us. In fact, the adversary sets things out there to blow up on us and to cause us to not be engaged any further in the battle for the Lord. So booby traps in the Christian life. In our verse specifically, I want to define 3 words, and the first word is this: advantage. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. The word advantage means this, literally, to seek to get more or to gain a favorable position. When Satan lost you to salvation, he lost the overall war. But he didn't lose the battles that you go through daily as he seeks to get a favorable position in your life. And his desire of taking advantage of you is to minimize your effect in ministry, to make you do the least amount possible to cause the least disadvantage to his kingdom. And so Satan, think about this. Don't be afraid of it, though, because you're equipped for this. Satan has a desire to have an advantage over you, and he has designed a scheme and a plan to make that happen. But it's not an IED. He doesn't just blow you up. It is a booby trap. You have to do something as the intended victim to make it blow up. Notice number 2, the second word, ignorant. When you look at verse 11, it says this, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The word ignorant here does not mean stupid. The word ignorant here means this. It says ignorant of or not to know, having little knowledge or education or experience in, a lack of knowledge. My 6 months in Vietnam as a training NCO was to help people come to the battlefield who were ignorant of the devices of the enemy and teach them about those devices so they wouldn't be caught by them. Whether it be a pit that was covered over by grass and sticks at the bottom, whether it be a branch with an explosive attached to it, or whatever else it might be, we went through all of those things to give them the knowledge to help them to go in the field and be successfully complete their mission. So we see the word booby trap, any scheme or device to trick a person unawares, again, triggered by the intended victim, advantage, trying to get a favorable position, ignorant, not knowing, so you need to be taught and learn, and then the last word is this, lest we are ignorant of his devices. And again, this brings us back around to our first idea. Devices denotes thought, that which is thought out, a purpose or device, a plan or a scheme, a sly or underhanded scheme or trick. And again, note whose devices these are. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his, Satan's, devices. As I mentioned a moment ago, but want to reiterate again, there is a scheme out there to take you down. There is a scheme out there to blow you up. There's a scheme out there to harm you and as well as harm as many others along with you as possible. So booby traps in the Christian life. Now, you need to be afraid of those, just like we told the men in Vietnam. No, you don't need to be afraid of those, but there's four things that you need to keep in mind. Let's take a look at them. Number one is this. Booby traps in the Christian life should come as no surprise. This centers on the word ignorant. Booby traps in the Christian life should come as no surprise. This triggers on the word ignorant. Soldiers are taught about booby traps and they are trained how to avoid them or even disarm them. And we as Christians are trained in regard to the booby traps that are in life. There are moral booby traps, for example. Joseph faced this in the Old Testament with Potiphar's wife. There are moral examples with David as he succumbed to seeing a naked woman, Bathsheba. There are material booby traps. For example, the rich young ruler who I referred to in Matthew 19 as the 13th disciple, but he didn't follow Jesus because he went away sorrowful, for he was very rich. There are also meritable booby traps. Thinking about that, for example, 1 Peter chapter 3, that your prayers be not hindered, being joint heirs together of the grace of life. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 in marriage as well as moral booby traps. It's not good for a man to touch a woman, nevertheless to what? Avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife and woman have her own husband. You also have mouth booby traps. In fact, when you're looking at our passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we're dealing with mouth type booby traps or heart type booby traps here. What's happened is there's a man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 who committed moral sin, and that man asked forgiveness and now seeks to be restored in the church. And Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is teaching this lesson at this moment. And it's not in regard to anything they have done with their morals or with their marriage or with their material riches, but it's something they've done in not giving a forgiving spirit. Do you know lack of a forgiving spirit can be a booby trap in your life and harm you as well as others? Do you realize the other mouth things such as gossip can do that, backbiting can do that, lying can do that, false witnessing can do that? Again, when I make this first point to you this morning, I'd love for you to think about this a little bit, maybe even discuss it a little bit. What are the booby traps that you have been taught about? Remember, booby traps in the Christian life should come as no surprise. The word is ignorant. What are the booby traps you have been taught about, and how can you avoid them in your future ministry and service to the church? There's a second point I would like for you to see this morning, and that is this. Booby traps in the Christian life are well hidden, but can be seen by the attentive eye. Booby traps in the Christian life are well hidden, but can be seen by the attentive eye. Notice the word devices is our key here. Devices talked about a plan or scheme. Devices talked about a sly or underhanded scheme. Booby traps are, they try to hide them, but if you're attentive and watching, you can find them. The interesting thing about our mission that day was the prior day we had had contact, and as we were going down a trail following up the contact, we actually saw a hand grenade that had been tied to a tree, and there was a wire on the pin, but we got there too quickly, and they didn't get to run the wire across the trail. And we were able easily to defuse that booby trap. And it was kind of interesting to me because it was actually harder to see that green hand grenade in the jungle foliage than it was the next day to see the branch that was laying obviously across the trail. We're actually going to show you that in a few minutes. But the thing about it is, think about it. No, you recognize booby traps in the Christian life should come as no surprise. Don't be ignorant. Listen to what you've been taught. There's a reason for it. Number two, booby traps in the Christian life are well hidden, but can easily be seen by the attentive eye. My wife and I had opportunity while we were here to be assistant pastor. I was assistant pastor at Daniel's Bible Church, and we visited a lot of homes up along that area and Beaver and up along Daniel's and such. And yesterday, we kind of went on a reminiscing tour and drove up through there. And as we drove through there, I was reminded about how booby traps can be disguised, but the attentive eye can draw your attention to them. We were in the little cinder block church of about 50 people in Daniels when we first started in my sophomore year, pastoring with Don Flager. And as we were pastoring there, two ladies came in, very attractive. One was blonde, one was brunette. And they came in and they started flattering me about my teaching. I wasn't the primary pastor, but I was teaching a new converts course and I was enthused about the Word of God. And they started flattering me tremendously. And then they started saying, listen, why don't you come to our house and we can have a Bible study together. We live just up the road here. And a red flag went up. Even though I was such a young Christian, a red flag went up. Why? Because booby traps in the Christian life are well hidden, but can be seen by the attentive eye. And I said, could you wait here just for a moment? And I ran down to the nursery and got my wife. My wife spent years in the nursery. We have 7 children. She didn't even know where the auditorium was for a long time. But I went down and I got my wife and I brought her up. And when I brought her up, and I'm not exaggerating, anyone that was there that day could tell you, I brought her up. I had my arm thrown around her. I was hugging her. And I was saying, ladies, this is my wife. Man, she's great. She could help you better than I can and whatever. I never saw those ladies again. But a few months later, I heard about those ladies. True story. We were going out on visitation, driving down the road. The man I was with said, do you know those ladies? I said, which ones? And he described them. I said, yes, they were at our church. They wanted me to come to their house for a Bible study. He said, both those ladies are divorced. This was in the 70s. They are both bitter and hateful, and their goal is to take down ministers of God. They try to get them in the house and seduce them or try to say that they did, and then it's their word against his. They've taken out 3 already. Listen, booby traps in the Christian life should come as no surprise. Amen? And booby traps in the Christian life are well hidden, but can be seen by the attentive eye. Make sure you're watching. Don't be afraid of them, but be cautious of them. The third thing I want you to see this morning is this. Booby traps in the Christian life are intended to hurt and harm as many people as possible. Soldiers know the effects of tripping a booby trap and seeing their buddies blown up. Many a Ranger team was actually obliterated after a booby trap experience. Rangers normally worked in 5-man teams. And when we were out in the field, we'd be spaced out. And normal booby traps would go off on a 3-second delay. See where I'm going here? The man in front would trip it, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. It would usually go off under the second man or between the second and third man. Now, even if the first man was not hit, how do you feel when you turn around and see your buddies lying on the ground because you tripped a booby trap? In my situation, they used a homemade booby trap and it went off immediately. So the first man caught most of it, I caught part of it, and the guy behind me caught some of it. Now you have 5 men, the booby trap goes off, and you've immediately taken out how many? 3. But you've also got one man who's panicky getting on the radio to call for help, so you've taken out 4. And you've got one man left, unless that one man is so compassionate that he's trying to help the 3 that have been wounded. And in effect, you've taken out a whole Ranger team. In effect, you've taken out a whole pastoral staff. In effect, you've taken out a whole godly family. In effect, you've taken out a student body. By what? By one booby trap that was set off. The thing I've noticed in 40 years of pastoring is this. Many people will say, you don't understand. This sin only affects me. I'm making this decision for my happiness and for me. It's not going to affect anybody else. Listen. Booby traps in the Christian life are intended to hurt and harm as many people as possible. It's never just you. Take a look at this word again, advantage. Satan is seeking to get an advantage of you. What does that mean? He is seeking to get more of you. He is seeking to get a favorable position in your life, as well as the life of those whom you're serving and the life of those whom you're living with. What's our last point this morning? The last point is this. Booby traps in the Christian life, once experienced, make us more cautious in the future. Soldiers who have been wounded or seen their buddies wounded are more cautious running their next mission. Why? They have seen firsthand the effect of these devices and what it can do to hinder the work of the team. Now, I want you to understand this morning that God will forgive us if we set off a booby trap and mess up our life or the lives of others. That's what this passage in 2 Corinthians 2 is talking about. This man set off a booby trap in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He had relations with his father's wife. It was horrible. The church was told to cast him out and bring chastisement on him. And he repented of that. Now he's coming back in to be forgiven. And when he comes back in, I propose to you, he's not the same man. He's learned from the past, which makes him better in the present. But I also propose to you that having set off that booby trap, you still carry the scars and repercussions and ramifications even 45 years later. I'm proof of that. So think about that for a moment, and let me ask you this question. How are you doing with the booby traps in your life? How is Satan seeking to get an advantage of you? Let's not be ignorant of his devices. Interestingly enough, we're going to put a slide on the screen. It'll just take a moment for you to see. But it's the very trail that I was booby-trapped on, and it's the very branch that disguised the booby trap. And as you look at this, you probably want to say, you were the training NCO of the 173rd for how long? 6 months. And you tripped up on this? Yes. Bob was the staff sergeant in front of me that day, and he said, Marty, I was upset. We were in the pre-op room in Quinon. We'd medevaced out of the field. We were taking our base camp. They realized we had to have surgery. They took us to Quinon, to the hospital. It was late at night. We're in the pre-op room, and Bob said, I've got to say something to you, Marty. I don't know if I'll see you again, but I got to tell you, I am so sorry. I saw the branch on the trail and kicked it out of the way. I wasn't thinking. I said, Bob, it happens. Just before this all happened, we were waiting for helicopters to come in, and I took my little Instamatic 110 camera. Look it up online. You young people have no idea what that was. It was a slide film. It was about a half inch by half inch. I took a picture because I thought, this is really a cool trail. Isn't it a cool trail? And if you look at it, as you see, that trail is as clean as this auditorium floor, except for that branch going across it. There's actually an M16 sitting within a couple feet, and there's a soldier, two soldiers, sitting there, right there. And yet, because we let down our guard that day, we were booby-trapped in Vietnam. That's waiting for you servants as you go out to serve the church. Remember, don't let them come as a surprise. Remember, they are hidden, but they can be seen by the attentive eye. Remember, they never take out just one person, but they take out those around you. And remember, booby traps in the Christian life, once experienced, should make us more cautious in the future. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to speak to these young people. Equip them to not only do, but to continue to be doing the work of the ministry, we pray in Jesus' name.